Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10 this evening, and we'll be picking up, really verse 9 is where we left off, but I'll probably just go ahead and read the first part of chapter 10 again, just to get ourselves back up to speed with where we've been at. You remember we kind of went through in chapter 9 and part of chapter 10 as Saul was chosen to be king, and you remember part of the interesting part of this was that Samuel earlier was kind of bummed out because Israel, the name Israel actually means governed by God, or to be ruled by God, simply stated. And so the whole thing, Israel was not supposed to be, you know, have anything other than a theocracy, God ruling. And that's the design for the believer's life too. We're not to have, and I know oftentimes we can kind of fight for the throne back in our hearts. You know, we want to rule and reign in our own lives. Oftentimes, we kind of fight for that spot again. But there's only room for one king in our lives, and we're part of a kingdom, and we have a king, and it's Jesus. And that's just a radical concept to our Western mindset, you know, that we actually have a ruler like that. But we do, and it's a wonderful truth to know. Well, the people wanted a king. They wanted to be like other nations. That's kind of sometimes the thought. Sometimes for us, we might be able to start thinking for ourselves that, well, we want to be like, I just want to live like the rest of the world. But see, that doesn't work for Christians. We don't fit that way. It just doesn't work for us because we have someone else ruling and reigning over our lives. Well, Samuel kind of took it a little bit personal, and he felt kind of, was pretty upset, and God just kind of stepped in and said, hey, Samuel, this isn't about you. You know, this is about them rejecting me. And sometimes I think we have that trouble too when we're trying to share something with somebody. Sometimes they get offended about what we're saying about God, but we take it personal when in fact, really, the battle is between them and the Lord. I oftentimes am reminded in situations and tell others that simple truth. Hey, man, the battle's not amongst ourselves. It's between an individual and God. That's really the battle zone oftentimes. And I think it's important to note because sometimes we can get bummed because we think, well, I shared this with them. They didn't really respond to it. And they didn't take it like I thought they would. Well, maybe you're just the seed planter in that situation. Maybe you're just throwing that out that might just be dropped off within their heart and that somebody else is going to come along in a week or two or a month or two or a year or two and put some water on that. If the Lord tarries, we know that we're on borrowed time, really. So how much time is there? I'm very urgent about it, personally. Because life can terminate quickly, can't it? You know, life can change very fast. And so there's not always that you're kind of borrowing on something that maybe isn't yours to borrow on oftentimes. So there is an urgency for us in our communication about this, but I look at this and I see this rejection that took place, and God just reminded him, hey, they're rejecting me. And I think sometimes that's what we've got to remember. We're just really a conduit, and that's really more the concept. We're just a messenger in that sense. You know, we can't save anyone anyway. None of us can. You know, that's the work of God's Holy Spirit. So we're really more or less kind of brokers of a commodity. We're just kind of getting that information out to people and get that into their hands and let them sort that out. So sometimes we get bummed when someone kind of rejects, you know, something we're saying to them about the Lord. Or, man, we just need to leave that in God's hands. You know, that the results in that sense is between God and the person. And it's not really, the results aren't up to us. And I find that a lot of times in my communication with individuals or even group settings or different situations, it varies from time to time how that approach might be because the Holy Spirit knows what the need is in that situation. So it might vary from time to time when you're talking with one family member or one friend. It may be very different than when you're communicating with another friend. And that's okay. You know, that's all right, because God knows what is needed in that situation. So I think Samuel kind of learned a good lesson in that, and God got him refocused. Needless to say, God honored their request. It was not God's design, remember? But God did honor their request, because God's working an eternal plan and purpose, isn't he? All the way through this, that ultimately there's going to be a king. Ultimately. And that king is going to be David. And through David, the line comes of the Messiah. God's working a purpose all the way through this. And David is definitely a type of. And we see some examples where Saul, you know, in his early days, as we're going to read tonight, really handled himself quite well. You know, he was responding to the Lord. It was going good. But he faltered. And we'll see as we go on. Tonight, won't get that far. Let's pick it up in verse 27 of chapter 9, because that's where this thought gathers, and then we'll just move right into chapter 10. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And he went on, "But you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God." So it's kind of, hey, be still. I want to share something with you from the Lord. And you know that's always a good time to listen up, especially when God's wanting to minister something to us. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And when you have departed from me today, you will find the two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin in Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son?'" A lot of great things, and we talked about these in our last study. Remember, Saul and his servant went out looking for the donkeys. And remember, this began this whole process that they're in. It was great for us to think on. Sometimes we get out, we get doing something, and we think it's about what we're doing, and God's doing something totally different through that situation. We perseverate and get so worked up about this whole thing about, where's the donkey? What about the donkeys? And, you know, we're just all, and all of a sudden, God's doing this whole other thing. All of a sudden, God leads us to go deal with, so it wasn't really about the problem or the issue. Oftentimes, I've found in even sharing the Lord with people, that I watch sometimes, especially it's people that I have more close contact with, I watch all of a sudden, life can become very difficult for them. And your tendency and my tendency is to step in. God help us. God help us. We ought not to. We don't want to interfere with what the Holy Spirit might be doing, because God might get them out looking for their donkeys. They got problems. They got issues. And they get all freaked out and all this stuff. And we'll rush in trying to help, when we just need to say, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. Just let them know that you love them and you're praying for them. Because while they're in the way, working through their struggle, perchance they might come across Jesus Christ. And we want to not interfere with that. In other words, don't mother hen them is what I'm trying to say. Just don't do it. Stop yourself. Because God might want them to crash and burn. Man, I crash and burn good right before getting right with Jesus and giving my life back over to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a horrible process, and it'd be great if we weren't so thick and stubborn and prideful. But humanity, we are oftentimes, and we gotta. But don't interfere. Let them crash and burn. And it's sometimes the hardest thing you can ever do is watch people skid on the pavement, if you know what I'm saying. Very difficult. But in so doing, the chance is that they will actually come have an encounter with the living God. Then they have a conversion that is between them and Jesus. And that is so important, so, so very important. So let's move on in verse 3. "Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a skin of wine." And we talked about kind of the types and the things that this represents. I love this stuff because it's great word pictures that are being painted for us. "And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instrument a tambourine and a flute and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. So, wow, sounds like an interesting day, doesn't it? You know? Can you imagine someone sitting back and telling you, hey, listen, so today you're going to drive over here and you're going to do this, and then you're going to get out and you're going to walk through the supermarket, and while you're in the supermarket, you're going to bump into this person. Can you imagine? It's just this wild thing that, but you know, when you're walking with God, a lot of things that are extraordinary happen in the very ordinary. They just kind of happen. But this, Samuel's kind of just laying this out for Saul. Hey, this is what's going to go down. This is how it's going to happen. Keep your eyes peeled. When you see these people, this is what's going to go on. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them. I like this. And be turned into another man. I think that's really cool. You know, for us on Sunday mornings, remember we started going through and kind of talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because we're in that chapter 12, and we did just kind of an introduction to that. I encourage you, if you weren't here, grab a CD of that or listen to the podcast so you can stay up with us on this, because I'm noticing as we go through, we talked about this last Wednesday, and now we're going to hit some more on this regarding the working of the Holy Spirit today and how God's wanting to move. He wants to come upon us. He wants to flow through us. It's quite a wonderful thing to be born again and to have the Spirit of the living God dwell within us. I could sit and contemplate that for days on end. You know, just the marvel of the fact that God dwells within us. You know, that's a powerful truth. Man, let me tell you, there's another powerful truth that goes right along with that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer's life, and not only does God dwell within a believer, but he flows through a believer. Oh my, that's quite another thing. As we just encounter different situations and God works through us to interact with and say something to this person and that situation and how God used this and did that and how God flows and works very supernaturally in a very natural way in our lives. I think that's a powerful, wonderful truth to know that God wants to move in and through our lives. The Spirit came upon him and he became another man. And isn't that true? There's a big transition that takes place when we're governed by God and we're really led by the Spirit, when we're walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit of God as God is leading and guiding our lives. Wonderful, wonderful truths. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. What a great encouraging word. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. I like this. You know, again, there's this idea of, hey, do as I'm saying. You know, Samuel is discipling in this sense Saul, you know, and he's telling him, hey, do like I say. Do what I'm telling you to do. These are your instructions. So there's this element of obedience, isn't it? It's God teaches us something through his word. And then he gives us an option. So there's the teaching, and then there's the, after a teaching, most teaching, any class I ever had, there was a teaching, and then there's the testing. So you get there's this time of teaching, and then there's this testing. Oh, an opportunity for you and for me to work out what he's worked in. So he's working these things into your life, and then there's this opportunity to work that out in your life. That's a great thing to know. That's part of the obedience and the understanding. So Samuel's giving him all these instructions. Hey, go do these things. This is what's going to go and how it's going to happen. He's okay. So now it all starts to come to pass. So it was in verse 9, now we're picking it up, where he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Can you imagine? You know, I think that's so encouraging to us. The things that God speaks, he will bring them to pass in his time, in his way. God will bring those things to pass. And so, God had given him another heart. And all those signs that day that came to pass. Verse 10, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Basically saying, it's possible. It's like, wow, that's really radical. It's possible that this could have happened, that this is really radical thing that's going on. Then a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To look for the donkeys. When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel." And Saul's uncle said, "Tell me, please, what did Samuel say to you?" And verse 16, "So Saul said to his uncle, 'He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. But about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said.'" I think that's interesting. I think this is a good contemplation, a good point just to stop on and just kind of think for just a minute. Because God speaks something to your heart doesn't mean you have to say all of that to everybody all the time. There is something to be said for the things that God speaks to our heart and just tuck them away and see how that plays out. I give you a case in point. So, Moses, our good buddy, Moses went and he heard from God. Now, when he first heard from God, he went and he saw these two Hebrews fighting amongst themselves, remember? And he came up to them. And, you know, he goes, "What are you guys doing? What's going on?" Do you remember then later he ends up killing somebody, burying him in the sand? And then the whole dispute comes over when he comes to the Hebrew guys. They say, "Well, wait a minute. Are you going to do like you did to the other guy? Who made you ruler over?" In other words, God was speaking to Moses about something. Moses then flees the scene. Remember how Moses fled? And then he's out and he spends now 40 years out on the backside of the desert. Now, going to the desert's pretty rough, but the backside of the desert's quite another thing, huh? You know, the idea, he's way out there in the wilderness by himself, just hanging out, you know, and God is just ministering to him, trying to teach him. And the whole time he spends taking care of somebody else's stuff. All the whole time, he just spends taking care of somebody else's stuff. Now, God then brings him back to the point of beginning, back and sends him back. He says, "Hey, man, this was cool when I was 40, man. I'm 80 now." This whole idea of fighting against God's purpose and plan and saying too much too soon and the things that can come from that, I like this because this guy is not doing a self-promotion in this. He's not trying to sell his uncle, "Oh yeah, and by the way, I'm going to rule over you and the whole kingdom." You get what I mean? I mean, he just kind of tucks it away. I'm sure he's probably pretty freaked out. I would have been if I was him. Wow, what does all this mean? The old dude dumped oil all over me. Next thing I know, everything goes just like he says. I'm out prophesying, hanging out with these other spiritual people. This is not his normal. He's a farm kid. Seriously, that's what he's a farmer. So it doesn't even fit in his normal scenario of life at all. And so he just tucks this away. I think that's a great lesson. Hear from the Lord. Tuck it in your heart and watch as it starts to come to pass. Because if it's God, God's going to make it evident. You don't need to sell anybody on it. God can do the work. God will do the work. And I like that as this starts to unfold. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel." Great reminder here. Man, oftentimes throughout the Old Testament, we find this constant reminder. I brought you, this is what the Lord God of Israel, this is what he says to them. I brought up Israel out of Egypt, out of the place of bondage. Who brought you, who brought me up out of the place of bondage? Did you bring yourself up out of the place of bondage? I didn't. We couldn't. God, Jesus brought us out of that place of bondage. Who brought you up out of Egypt, type of the world, place of bondage, and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who oppressed you? Who did all that? In other words, God's saying, wasn't I a good enough leader for you then? Wasn't I a good king to you? Didn't I care for you and love you in a great way? But you have rejected your God. You want a man instead of God to rule, who himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations. God was the one that delivered you. Again, the reminder. And you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and your clans. Now, you got to hear a little bit. I know this is the Lord speaking so clearly, because it said it was. But the idea is, I bet you can see Samuel saying this with passion and conviction, huh? Nothing's changed for Samuel, has it? Samuel's doing what God called him to do, what God purposed for him to do. Samuel's staying with his course. But something else shifted gears, and the people wanted to do something different, and Samuel says, okay, this is the way it played out. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel, in verse 20, to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden among the equipment. He was kind of off to the side, you know, whether he was at that time, had some little bit shy, maybe, we don't know. Definitely showed some form of humility in getting started, and I think that's good. That's awesome. We unfortunately see, some of us are familiar with the story of what happens with Saul, but the reality is, this is what's so important to me, is it started out good, didn't it? It started out good. It started on the right course. It started out well. What happened? I think that's what's going to be interesting to chart as we go through this. What happened? Humility does this. It allows us to be usable by the master. That's what humility does in the kingdom with God. Humility allows us and keeps us in a place of usability. If we leave humility, we are no longer usable. And what do I mean by that? It's because we're no longer pliable. Because God wants to have in your heart and in my heart a platform. He wants to be able to speak things into our lives. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks again for listening to the Bible study today, and I trust that God is speaking to your heart. Oftentimes when we hear God's word, it kind of pricks our hearts and there's a desire to respond, and I want to give you that opportunity to respond to God today by giving your life to Jesus if you've never given your life to Jesus. And if you want that free gift of salvation, everlasting life, it's yours. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you've walked with God at some point in your life, but you're just not walking with Him today and want to get right with Him. This is an opportunity for you. You know, many make fun of Jesus' second coming, that they're wondering, hey, is Jesus ever going to come back? And they make fun of it, kind of asking, where's the promise of His coming? You know, trying to act like God's forgotten about us. Well, God's not forgotten about you, me, or this world. But the real reality is the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's God's heart, is that we would get to that place of repentance. That means to turn away from something and to begin to follow something else, turning away from our sin and our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions in our lives that are so destructive, and then willingly follow Him. That's His desire, that we wouldn't perish, but that we'd have everlasting life. If you'd pray a simple prayer of faith with me right now, right where you are, right whatever's going on in your life, if you just take this brief moment from your heart to pray this prayer and just ask Jesus, Jesus, I want to ask that You would forgive me of all my sin. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I want to ask that You would be my personal Lord and Savior, that You'd come into my heart, make my heart Your home.
and that I would begin this new life, this new journey with you, Jesus. I thank you so much for loving me, and I thank you for forgiving me. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.